This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well now, well, once again allow us to express our greetings to each of you, and before we begin, we would remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication, in that altered state of consciousness, and to participate in that telepathic exchange of information if you should desire to do so. But of course, there's always that choice is yours, absolutely. Now, what do you believe? Such a simple question to ask, what do you believe? And yet, very difficult many times for you to answer, particularly when you look at the reality that you're experiencing in your day-to-day existence, in your so-called awakened consciousness state. Difficulty to accept the responsibility that the reality you're experiencing is the result of a belief that you hold, that you can't seem to put your finger on, that you really have difficulty understanding what it is that you believe that's responsible for the reality that you're experiencing, regardless of whether or not you look upon that reality as being positive or negative. Regardless, it's the result of a belief or a belief system that you're involved in and that you continue to perpetuate. We've suggested many times that there are various types of beliefs and belief systems. And the one we refer to as the most difficult for you to alter is the human consciousness belief system. The one that is the consensus for the entities to exist within this vibrational level, to participate in and to perpetuate this so-called human consciousness beliefs and belief system. Many beliefs that we like to use an example of what you would refer to as your laws of physics. Very difficult for you to alter or to change. The real stuff that is without question in your so-called awakened consciousness state, beyond your capacity to control. And some of the most difficult for you to control, as we have already suggested earlier on this afternoon, are your beliefs in time and space. A human consciousness belief system that is very difficult for you to step outside of, this concept of time and space. And once again, you go through all types of creation processes in order to validate that belief in time and space. And yet it's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. It's possible for you in altered states of consciousness to experience realities that step outside of that belief system of time and space. In your altered state of consciousness, in a meditative state, for example, it's possible for you to experience other times and other spaces. While you are maintaining an awareness of what it is that you're experiencing, it's the alteration of your consciousness in a meditative state. It simply means that you are allowing your consciousness to enter an altered state while you maintain awareness of the experiences that you bring forth in that altered state of consciousness. It's still your creation. It's not something that's beyond your capacity to control, absolutely not. It's your creation, even in those altered states of consciousness, in your meditative states, in your dream states. You are in control. It's your creation, absolutely. However, in your awakened consciousness state, it becomes very difficult to step outside of that belief system, that human consciousness belief system in time and space. We've talked to you about the capacity to have what you refer to as time travel, or the ability to experience realities in a different time or a different place. While you awaken consciousness, that appears to be and becomes very difficult, not only concept but belief to hold. But we have suggested that the key is to understand that you already exist in those other times and spaces. You see, it's an illusion. This reality that you are experiencing is your creation. In you, each of you, and the energy that comprises you exists in each and every atom of the entire universe. And so, in order to teletransport your physical being from one particular area to another, the key is to understand that your consciousness already exists in all of the atoms throughout all of the universe. It's an illusion. It keeps coming back to that understanding that it's an illusion. And so time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist other than in your so-called awakened consciousness state. And so let's broaden a discussion on that concept. Let's talk first of all about time. You see, if time is an illusion, then it suggests that your past, present, and future really don't exist in the concept that you perceive them in your so-called awakened consciousness state. You, in your awakened consciousness state, believe that you exist in the now, and that what has occurred in the past is like written in stone, so to speak, and very difficult to change, and yet you believe that you have the capacity to have an influence upon your future. And yet in the very amount of time that it's taken us to give you that explanation, the beginning of that explanation now exists in the past and we're in the future. It's an illusion. You exist in the now. And yet you can, during these particular thought processes, while your mind dwells on that thought, have a concept that steps outside of time and space. And while it may take a various amount of passage of time in order for you to process that thought, nonetheless the thought remains in the now. And you believe that it was in the now, not in the past, not in the future, even though there was a passage of time while you are entertaining that thought. It's an illusion, this concept of time. It doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, then it brings upon you the possibility, perhaps, that there is no such thing as a past and a present and a future, but you only exist in the now. And if you apply that concept to your entire existence, then perhaps all of the other incarnational periods that you are experiencing are in the now. It's happening in the now. And if that's the case, then it means that you are experiencing your past, present, and future in the now. It also gives the impression that it's possible for you to alter your past as readily as you alter your future, even though in your awakened consciousness state, in order to validate your belief in time and space, you believe the past is set in stone and the future has the option of you manipulating through your choices and decisions, through your various thoughts and feelings. You can somehow decide what it is that you're going to experience in the future and have an influence upon it. However, the past, that's done. It's like that set in stone and you can't change it. The irony of it is you exist in the now, and whether you choose to believe in your awakened consciousness state, you manipulate and change your past as readily as you manipulate and change your future, because it doesn't exist in the past or the present or the future. It exists in the now. And the irony of it is that if we attempt to give you some type of an explanation based upon this concept of time, we continuously use phrases that refer to time. Like in the now refers to a passage of time not the past, not the future, but the now. And yet the now encompasses all. So it becomes very difficult to give an explanation, but nonetheless, time is an illusion. It doesn't exist other than what you experience and what you choose to experience in your awakened consciousness state, because it enhances this concept that this is real, that this existence in your awakened consciousness state in this particular incarnational period is real, it's happening. There are things in the future that you can't comprehend, but your past, you can look at that and you can validate that those particular instances occurred. You can refer to various past histories to validate that the past is real, that this passage of time is real, because it makes the illusion more real, because it makes this reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state in this vibrational level more real, and it intensifies as a result your belief that you're not in control. Time is an illusion, it doesn't exist other than in your awakened consciousness state. And so it is with space. You believe that there is this space between various points of existence within your vibrational level in your awakened consciousness state, and the passage of time to go, it's necessary to go from one spot to another in your so-called space, validate that the space actually exists. We have suggested that you can be from one space to another instantaneously. It's simply a matter of understanding and believing that your consciousness exists throughout the entire universe. And it's a matter of concentrating on a particular area of your consciousness, as opposed to being limited by this belief in space. And so, space is an illusion. This vibrational level that you exist in, this reality, is illusionary. This space, this vibrational level, is in the same time and the same space as any other vibrational level throughout all of existence. There's no space. There's not like we're here and you're there. It's not like this vibrational level exists here and another vibrational level exists somewhere else. We've used the analogy many, many times. It is like you understand absolutely that at this instant there are throughout your Earth system, throughout your atmosphere, a multitude of various types of frequencies being broadcast across your entire Earth system. And you, through the utilization of various instruments, have the capacity to tune into one of those frequencies, one of those radio frequencies or television frequencies or one of your cell phone frequencies, whichever particular piece of apparatus that you desire to utilize. You can tune into one of those radio frequencies while eliminating all the rest. And yet you know absolutely that they are all existing within the same time and same space. And yet you can focus on one while eliminating the rest. And so it is that in this vibrational level, you focus on this vibrational level while eliminating all the rest. All existing within the same time and same space. Not somewhere else. Here, in the same time and same space. This reality that you experience is an illusion. It doesn't really exist other than you choose to believe it exists. And therefore, in your awakened consciousness state, it exists so that you can experience the intense range of emotions and feelings while you choose to hide from the understanding that all of the other vibrational levels, all of the other incarnational periods that you're involved in, all of the other activities are existing within the same time and same space. You simply choose to focus and to concentrate on experiencing this one particular frequency. And so we use the terminology of a vibrational level. It's not accurate in the sense that that's exactly what it is, that you are somehow at a better or a different or an advanced or less than advanced vibrational level than anyone else. Absolutely not. It's simply that that comes the closest to giving an explanation of the various types of existences that are being created throughout all of this creation process. It's like we explained that this veil that you put in place is like an electromagnetic type of energy. It's simply because that gives you some type of explanation that you can visualize and say, oh, I can understand that. And so it is when we say you're in a vibrational level. Some people like to refer to it as a plane of existence. There are advantages and disadvantages to all of the explanations. We don't particularly like this explanation of a plane of existence because it refers to there are higher planes and lower planes and different planes of existence, some more advanced and some less advanced, and it's really not that way. It's like the frequency that you utilize in this vibrational level is not any more or any less than any other frequency that's utilized in any of the other vibrational levels that exist throughout all of creation. It's like the frequencies that are being broadcast through your Earth's atmosphere. One is no more superior than the other. You simply choose to tune into one while eliminating all the rest. Not that one is any better or any worse, just that one is more desirable for you to experience at a particular time. And so it's really that simple. It's an illusion. Time and space don't really exist. The only limitation to your understanding of that concept is one that you put in place. It's one that you choose to perpetuate. It's one that you choose to maintain. You go to great lengths to maintain it. It takes a tremendous amount of energy for you to perpetuate this illusionary reality that you exist in. It takes a tremendous amount of effort for you to maintain this illusionary reality. But it gives you in reward that ability to experience an intense range of emotions and feelings that's not possible in any other vibrational level. It's rather ironic that in this vibrational level, one of the most sought after experiences is that of unconditional love. Unconditional love, first from oneself and then to be shared with others. It's something that each of you searches for. And it is something that because of your choice to put in place this veil, this limitation of understanding who you are, this connection with that spark of consciousness, that unconditional love that you are, becomes very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult. And so you search for it. And as a result of putting in that particular veil that limits that capacity for you to easily access that understanding of absolute and unconditional love, you, conversely, have the capacity to understand an intense range of emotions and feelings that are not experienced in other vibrational levels where they understand the creation process. And the irony of it is that in these other vibrational levels that choose to know and to understand and to contain within their consciousness, if you wish, the understanding of their creation process, the one emotional feeling that becomes stronger and continues to expand is that knowing and sense of unconditional love, the one that you search so hard for in your limited understanding in this vibrational level that you choose to exist in. But ironically, in the other vibrational levels, the other emotions and feelings, the intense range of emotions and feelings that you choose to experience in this vibrational level are not available. Because when you understand the creation process, and you understand that you're in control of the realities and of the experiences, then it's like once again visiting that movie theater. The extent of the emotions and feelings that you have is based upon the understanding that you are in control and therefore not nearly as intense as the emotions and feelings that you experience in this vibrational level when you believe you're not in control. So therein lies the irony And if you search for that spark of unconditional love, that understanding and that ability to share unconditional love that exists within each of you and that you choose to hide from, in your quest to experience as well all of the other intense range of emotions and feelings, while in the other vibrational levels, the sense and understanding of unconditional love continues to grow, is indeed easily accessible, while that access to the intense range of emotions and feelings on the other reality creation process is much more difficult. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Can you tell me more about being when you go to sleep and then you go into the dream state? Sometimes dreams can be so real, and when you wake up, you remember them, and you remember them down the road too. Just wondering, what do they mean? Like there can be a whole scenario.
When you're involved in a dream state, when you're involved in that dream, you are one step away from what we refer to as a between incarnational period, from that level of consciousness that you would experience when you die, for example, what you believe in your awakened consciousness state to be a termination of this particular incarnational period. You are one step away. And you experience in that so-called dream state many interactions, not only within this incarnational period, but within other incarnational periods that you're involved in. It's in that deep dream state that you have that capacity to experience realities that do away with this concept of time and space within certain limitations. You never completely do away with the belief in time and space as long as you exist within this vibrational level. However, once again, in that dream state, in that deep dream state, you come very close. Now what you dream in that dream state and bring back into your consciousness many times is very, very altered on purpose. You alter it because in that deep dream state, many times you're putting in plans, beliefs, making choices and decisions that will influence your reality, not only within yourself, but within others that you're going to interact with. You see, when you're involved in an activity, when you're involved in a day-to-day activity with another entity, it's not an accident. It's not something that just happens to occur. It's because at some level of your consciousness you have agreed to participate. And when you come back into your awakened consciousness state, you once again are under that influence of the veil where you hide from that understanding that you are the creator, that you put in place all of these choices and decisions, all of these belief systems that many times are made in that altered state of consciousness, in that dream state. So what you dream in that dream state and bring back into this reality is very altered, if you wish. It's been altered to the sense where it's difficult for you to understand and apply it to any particular activity that you're involved in your so-called conscious state, in this awakened consciousness state, in your day-to-day activities. So what you dream, what you recall and what you bring back, many times is altered tremendously from what it is that you actually experienced and were involved in that dream state. Now, it's possible through extensive awareness of your consciousness to be involved in your dream, to influence what it is that you're dreaming, and from that state to influence the reality that you experience in your so-called awakened consciousness state. It's possible within certain limitations to influence your dreams consciously, despite the fact that you are in that very deep state of altered consciousness. You refer to it many times in your awakened consciousness state as a lucid dreaming, as that ability to retain memory. We would suggest, however, that even in that situation, while you are in that dream, in that so-called lucid dreaming, taking your consciousness into that dream and influencing the outcome of the dream, what it is that you desire to experience, even then when you come back into your awakened consciousness state, the dream is distorted. Distorted on purpose by yourself, by your consciousness, by your subconsciousness, so that you don't understand, so that you remain within this illusionary reality with the belief that you're not in control. It's an illusion. all of the realities that you experience in this vibrational level, even in those so-called altered states of consciousness, to a certain extent, are illusionary. In the dream state, the realities are much more real than what it is that you experience in this awakened consciousness state. However, even in that deep dream state, you do not entirely set aside this veil. Even in your so-called between incarnational state, when you choose to remain in this vibrational level, when you die, in other words, you continue to exist within this vibrational level and under some influence of this veil that you put in place that limits your capacity to influence the reality you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And so what you experience in your dream and bring back into your so-called conscious state is distorted. And you may have the capacity to, once again, what you refer to as lucid dreaming, to consciously have an impact upon your dreams. Nonetheless, the memory, the reality that you bring back into your so-called awakened consciousness state is distorted. Distorted by your choice in order to validate that this reality is real and that what you experienced in that dream state was a dream. That it was the illusion. It's really not that bad. However, once again, you go to great lengths to make it difficult to understand in your awakened consciousness state that this is the illusion. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You quite often mention the expectation for reality creation, and we'll often use the word, well, you know, I went to the grocery store to buy, expecting to buy apples, and when I got there were no apples, but obviously that's not the kind of expectation we're talking about.
We've suggested that this reality as you suggest, is influenced greatly by your expectation. You see, we suggest that it's important that you understand what it is that you desire. That you understand it consciously. Ironically, you have desires, whether consciously or subconsciously, that you are creating in this world. You don't escape that. It's part of the creation process. It's part of this thing that you create your reality. And so you have desires. And in order to bring that desire into your reality, we have suggested that imagination is an important part of the creation process. If you would look at each invention that you utilize in your day-to-day existence, some of the things that you look upon as being necessary for you to experience the lifestyle that you choose, you will find that all of those so-called inventions are the result of someone's imagination. Imagination is a powerful tool in this creation process. The more you can imagine it, the more you can put in all the details of what it is that you desire, then the greater the chance of your accomplishing and bringing into the reality that which you desire. And then there is expectation. Perhaps the most difficult of all three for you to not only understand, but for you to achieve, to hold within your consciousness, the expectation. Expectation, for many, is based upon your belief that it's possible. Not only belief that it's possible, but your belief in yourself that it's possible. You have to like who you are. You have to love yourself. When you begin to love yourself, then you can begin to hold that expectation. Now there's a difference between the expectation that you experience when you put in place various important and significant activities or realities that you wish to experience in your awakened consciousness state versus your day-to-day interactions. You see, when you go to the grocery store, you have the expectation that you are going to be able to purchase a certain item. Do you really have that expectation? Or somewhere back in your mind, is there all of the other little incidences that you know must be in place before that expectation can be fulfilled? For example, there's the individual who must order the product. And then there's all types of transportation problems that can be interfering with that product being delivered. And then there's even that possibility that the product sits somewhere else in that particular store that you're visiting and has not been put out to where you can access it. And so you have all of these other expectations that you realize and believe can influence the possibility of your being successful in achieving your goal of purchasing a particular item in a grocery store. Now, if you hold the desire and the expectation for that to be there, is it based upon all of these other concepts that can influence the reality? Are you willing to put all of them aside and say that those are all illusionary? I don't want to be involved in those. If it's not there, then I'll simply create it. Do you have that expectation? That's a much different expectation than to simply go to the grocery store and expect a particular item to be there based upon your belief that all of the other instances must be in place before you can achieve that expectation that a particular item will be available. You see, it's an illusion. And if you have a desire, you utilize your imagination to a certain extent, and you have the expectation, and truly have the expectation, and put aside all of the other beliefs and belief systems, including the human consciousness belief system, and the societal belief system, and even your individual belief system, and you have the expectation that it's possible for you to create that particular item, then you wouldn't have to go to the grocery store in the first place. It's within your capacity. The only limitation to your creation process is your imagination, your understanding of the creation process, your beliefs and belief systems. Very difficult to step outside of those human consciousness, societal, and many times even individual belief systems, and to create what it is that you truly desire. What is your expectation? What is that expectation based upon? Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I was wondering if you could speak to some of the psychedelics, like ayahuasca, and some of the things that have been used in the ancient cultures for centuries to expand consciousness, and things like crystals that have been used in some Asian cultures to try and enhance the human experience.
We spoke earlier on this afternoon about individuals attempting to discover that higher self, if you wish, that spark of consciousness that you are, that you'd hide from, that you put in place. As we suggested, it's like putting your hand behind your back and then wondering where it went. You cannot be separated from your spirituality. Many of these efforts are in an attempt to escape from this consciousness and to somehow enter into another state of consciousness and to have a connection with that understanding of who and what you truly are. The irony of it is that the true path to understanding who and what you truly are lies with inside. We've suggested that it can't be found written in a book or expressed through some type of channeling such as we are attempting to express in this afternoon. It cannot be found by trying to alter your consciousness through some type of artificial means. That leads you into a path where you begin to, because of your beliefs and belief systems, give up control of the understanding of your consciousness and where it's going and where you wish it to go. When you go with inside, when you learn to go with inside and to alter your consciousness into a meditative state by maintaining the awareness of what it is that you're experiencing, you can control where you go. You can control what the experience is. You can experience past lifetimes if that's where you wish to go. You can experience interacting with other entities that don't exist in this vibrational level if that's what you choose to go. You can experience an understanding of who and what you truly are. our friend Elias enters into this state not because of some type of desire to encourage or to help anyone, but for his own personal journey that we assist him on to enter into those other vibrational levels, to enter into and to interact with other incarnational periods, to connect with and to experience that absolute understanding of unconditional love. That's why Elias does this, not because there's some effort or expression or desire to entertain or to encourage or to help others, but rather for his own personal satisfaction and experience. Each of you has within you that capacity to go with inside, to understand who and what you truly are, to interact with and to experience interactions in other incarnational periods, in what you like to refer to as past life or past life regression, or to experience existing on other planes of existence or vibrational levels or whatever terminology you wish to express. It's like tuning into a different one of those radio frequencies that exist within the same time and same space. You can choose which ones. You can choose that by altering your consciousness, by choosing to alter your consciousness and maintaining awareness of what it is that you've experienced, and by having a definite desire to experience certain realities. When you enter into and use some type of what you refer to as a psychedelic type of substance to alter your consciousness, you lose that control. You are at the whim of whatever it is that you may experience. Whatever it is that you believe is there for you to experience. And many times, what you believe is there for you to experience is not what you choose or would desire to experience in your awakened consciousness state. It gives one the opportunity to utilize what you refer to as the psychedelic type of substances. It gives one the opportunity to alter your consciousness into, in that altered state of consciousness, once again believe that you're not in control, but that you are experiencing another reality. But the key is, you're not in control. It's possible to altering your consciousness, entering into a meditative state, maintaining your awareness in that meditative state, to experience those other realities, those other vibrational levels, to come in contact with, to get a glimpse, to experience unconditional love. And so we're not suggesting for an instant that you don't become involved in those types of activities. That's your choice. This is not a right or wrong. It's your choice. If that's what you wish to experience, absolutely, it's your choice. It's not right or wrong. There will be no judgment as to whether you should or should not be involved in such activities. Be aware, when you're involved in such activities, that there comes with that the belief system that you're not in control. That's a human consciousness and a societal belief system, and many times an individual belief system that affects the outcome of what it is that you are experiencing while under the influence of those so-called psychedelic chemicals. When you alter your consciousness through your choice, by entering into a meditative state and learning to maintain your awareness, then it becomes possible for you to choose what it is that you desire to experience. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
How do you go beyond the fear and limitations? I guess that our belief system would put up.
Once again, you enter into this vibrational level by choice for the possibility to experience intense range of emotions and feelings, including fear. You see, in your awakened consciousness state, you view that as a negative experience. Why would one want to experience fear? Why would one want to experience disease? Why would one want to experience pain? Why would one want to create those so-called seemingly negative realities in your awakened consciousness stand. It's because it's not possible to experience the intense range of emotions and feelings that are associated with those particular experiences when you understand that you are absolutely in control. Many of those particular experiences, feelings of pain, feelings of fear, come from a lack of understanding of the creation process, come from a lack of self-love, if you wish, like who you are. The process is actually quite simple. You put in place a set of principles. You list the principles according to what's important to you. It's important when you list your principles, when you begin this process, that you do what applies to you. Not that you're doing this because you want to impress someone else, not because you want to live up to someone else's expectations, but principles that you would live by. Principles that are important to you. And you apply your principles. You create realities from day to day and throughout your interactions with other entities that give you constantly the opportunity to apply your principles. You make a choice. Every activity that you're involved in requires that you make a choice. To do nothing requires that you make a choice. So choices and decisions are occurring each day, throughout your entire day, in all of your activities. And as a result of those choices and decisions, seemingly insignificant many times, it results in you becoming involved in an activity that you have agreed to participate in, that gives you the opportunity to apply your principles. As you apply your principles, you begin to lack who you are even more. And if you don't like a particular principle, or if you decide that, well, this is a principle that I've got that one down pat, I want to make this one more important, it doesn't really matter. You can alter the principles. What's important is that you apply the principles when the opportunity that you create presents itself. And as you apply your principles, you begin to strengthen your character. You begin to like who you are. Now, it's important, because many people fall into the pitfall of if they miss applying a principle, then suddenly they begin to look upon it as a failure. It's not a failure because you missed applying your principles. It's like getting 99% on a report card out of 100% and you dwell on the 1% that you didn't get while you eliminate all the 99%. That doesn't constitute a failure. You apply the principles and you dwell on the positive as it strengthens your character and you begin to like yourself. And as you begin to like yourself, you begin to have the capacity to love yourself. Love requires effort. Love is not just, I love someone. That's a phrase that's easily given and said. Infatuation can frequently lead one to believe that you are in love with someone. But love is much more complicated than that. Love of another requires the same amount of effort that you would utilize to love yourself. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. The being is easy. The doing requires effort. It requires commitment. It takes work. You do things to allow first yourself and then the others to experience a vast range of what you would refer to as positive emotions. You give to someone. You give to someone a gift that allows them to experience joy, that allows them to experience a sense of belonging, that allows them to experience a sense of well-being, that allows them to experience a sense of commitment. And you give that gift without a condition. It's given as a condition of unconditional love. When you put a condition upon it, it's no longer a gift or expression of love, but rather then it becomes a contract. I'll give you this, providing you do this. There's nothing wrong with contracts. They allow your society to function. You can, you have parents who will assist their children, for example, in some top of perhaps advanced education, and they would say, we will give this to you, providing that you maintain a certain level in your studies, in your academic performance. Well, that may be a contract that's formed out of love. It's not a gift of unconditional love, because you see, with unconditional love, there would be no conditions. And so, well, it's not necessary for each interaction to be a gift of unconditional love. It's important to understand that when you give a gift as a gift of love, that it contains with it no conditions. That it's not a contract. And so you give unconditionally to allow another to experience these emotions and feelings. You commit to another to allow them to experience a sense of security. You allow another to know you so that they can feel an attachment, so that they can feel a need, that you need them, that they are worthy, that they are important. You commit so that one can feel a sense of understanding and security and of joy. You trust, and you allow another to trust you. Trust is a very complicated interaction between two entities. Many times misunderstood. When you trust someone, there must be in place the possibility for you to gain or to lose something, and always the loss must be greater than the gain. For example, if you buy a lottery ticket and you trust that you're going to win, the loss is $1. The gain may be much more than the $1. So it's not a trusting situation. You're gambling. You're hoping that this $1 investment will come back in a multitude of expression of wealth to you. That's a gambling. That's not a trust. However, when you share with someone a particular feeling or an emotion, and you trust that they will not violate or misuse that particular emotion or feeling or information, then you are entering into a trusting situation where you have more to lose than you have to gain. And before you enter into a trusting situation, you must solicit the other person's trust. So many times you're in an activity and you become involved with an individual and you express all types of your particular feelings and emotions and understandings without ever soliciting the trust. You tell someone something that can be very damaging to your day-to-day activities, and then after you say, oh, by the way, I trust that you won't tell anyone. You can't do that. You must solicit first the trust. You must understand that it's a trusting situation and that you are asking someone for their trust. And you must be willing, when someone asks you for that trust, to give it. It's what occurs particularly when you are working in a loving situation. To trust. To know. Not to know simply the very obvious personality traits, but to allow someone to know you and to have someone allow them you access to their most innermost thoughts and feelings. To know someone, to be intimate with someone. You see, it seems in your society that intimacy has been attached to physical interaction. But true intimacy is so much more. Intimacy is that connection at your so-called soul level. Intimacy is the willingness to commit. The willingness to allow someone else to know you. The willingness to know someone else and to accept them as they are without judgment. Intimacy is giving to someone without conditions. Intimacy is knowing. Intimacy is commitment. All of the things that each does to the other to allow you to experience that unconditional love. And conversely, what you do for yourself to experience unconditional love. Because ironically, it's very difficult to love someone else when you don't love yourself, when you don't have an understanding within your inner consciousness what love is, and what you expect from love, and what you are willing to give for love to others and to yourself. Does that answer your question? Well, now, it has been a very interesting afternoon, and we would once again express our gratitude for your allowing us to interact with each of you in your vibrational level. For we are most certainly aware and grateful for this opportunity to share with you, and for you to share with us, the intimacies and the understanding of who and what you truly are. And so we would remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so, until the next time that we are once again involved in this interaction, we would once again express to each of you a farewell with love and with peace.